the important deliverables my team and I have committed to. And all the noise in my life is taking my energy. It all feels so complicated. I just don't feel I have any time for myself anymore. It's fairly overwhelming. All the messages and notifications and ads and diversions. And what the Spellbinder said is also so helpful to me as I raise my standards as a leader. I've sort of hit a wall. My company has grown faster than I ever expected. I've become more successful than I ever imagined. But there are some things causing me a ton of stress. She looked away and crossed her arms again. I can't tell them what I'm really dealing with, thought the entrepreneur. Then she continued, I've had to let go of people I really liked because I've learned people who fit at one stage of a business's life cycle may not work as the firm evolves. That's been hard. They were the right employees for an earlier time, but they don't belong now. And some things are unfolding at my shop that have turned my life upside down. I don't really want to get into it. It's just a very shaky time for me.
Well, on your point about elevating your leadership game, responded the homeless man, please remember that the job of the leader is to help disbelievers embrace your vision, the powerless to overcome their weaknesses, and the hopeless to develop faith. And what you said on letting go of employees you liked, but who no longer fit where your business is now at, that's a normal part of growing a business. And it happened because they failed to grow as your enterprise rose. They started coasting. They stopped learning, inventing, and making everything they touched better than they found it. And as a result, they stopped being awesome value incubators for your venture. They likely blamed you, but they did it to themselves.
The uninvited stranger indicated, surprising his listeners by the sophistication of his insights on team building and winning in commerce.
Exactly, replied the entrepreneur.
So we had to leave them behind, since they no longer deliver the results we were paying them for. A lot of nights I wake up at 2 a.m. soaked in steamy sweat. Maybe it's like what F1 racer Mario Andretti said. If everything seems under control, you're not going fast enough. That's how I seem to feel most days. We're blowing past our key performance indicators so quickly, it makes my head spin. New teammates to mentor, new brands to manage, new markets to penetrate, new suppliers to watch, new products to refine, new investors and shareholders to impress, and 1,000 new responsibilities to handle. It really does feel like it's a lot. I have a huge capacity to get big things done, but there's a lot on my shoulders. The entrepreneur tightened her arms and scrunched her forehead together absent-mindedly. Her thin lips pulled together like a sea anemone, shutting on sensing a fatal predator, and her eyes suggested she was suffering intensely.
And about your point about being addicted to technology, just remember that intelligently used, it advances human progress. Through using technology wisely, our lives become better, our knowledge becomes richer, and our wonderful world becomes smaller. It's the misuse of technology that's ruining people's minds, damaging their productivity, and destroying the very fabric of our society. Your phone is costing you your fortune, you know, if you're playing with it all day long. And what you just said about all the pressure on you, how fantastic. Pressure is a privilege, said tennis legend Billie Jean King, the homeless man shared. You get to grow. And ascending as a person is one of the smartest ways to spend the rest of your life. With every challenge comes the gorgeous opportunity to rise into your next level as a leader, performer, and human being. Obstacles are nothing more than tests designed to measure how seriously you want the rewards that your ambitions seek. They show up to determine how willing you are to improve into the kind of person who can hold that amount of success. Failure's just growth in wolf's clothing. And pretty much nothing else is as important in life as personal expansion, the unfoldment of your potential. Tolstoy wrote, everyone thinks of changing the world, but no one thinks of changing himself. Become a bigger person, and you'll also automatically become a better leader and a greater producer. And yes, I agree that growth can be scary,
But my mentor once taught me that the part of you that clings to fear must experience a sort of crucifixion, so that the portion of you that deserves high honor undergoes a kind of reincarnation. Those are the exact words he shared with me. Freaky and deep, right? Said the hobo, as he rubbed the holy man beads he was wearing. He kept going without waiting for an answer. My special teacher also told me that to find your best self, you must lose your weak self. And that only happens through relentless improvement, continuous reflection, and ongoing self-excavation. If you don't keep rising daily, you'll get stuck in your life for the rest of your life. Makes me consider what the journalist Norman Cousins said. The tragedy of life is not death, but what we let die inside of us while we live. The homeless man raised his raspy voice and observed, My special teacher taught me that once we transform the primary relationship with ourselves, we'll find that our relationships with other people, our work, our income, and our impact transform. Most people can't stand themselves, so they can never be alone and silent. They need to constantly be with other people to escape their feelings of self-hatred over all their wasted potential, missing the wonders and wisdom that solitude and quiet bring. Or they watch TV endlessly, not realizing it's eroding their imagination, as well as bankrupting their bank account. My life feels so complicated. I feel so overwhelmed. I don't have any time for myself, the entrepreneur repeated. Not sure what's happened to my life. Things have just become hard.
I understand you, the artist said as he placed an arm over his new friend's shoulder. My intuition tells me that you're going through a lot more than you're sharing, and that's okay. You know, some days life seems so messy that I can't get out of bed. I just lie there, man. I close my eyes and wish the fog in my head would just go away, even for a day. I can't think straight some of the time. And on those days, my heart has no hope in it at all. It sucks. And a lot of people suck too, man. I'm not antisocial. I'm just anti-moron. Too many dumb people around these days, taking stupid fashion pictures of themselves with pouty lips and clothes they can't afford, hanging with people they don't even like. I'd rather live a thoughtful life, a risky life, a real life, an artist's life. Drives me crazy how superficial people have become.
The artist then punched one fist into his other hand. Unyielding creases appeared along his jawline, and a blue vein twitched in his thick neck.
Sure, I gotcha, said the homeless man. Life isn't easy, people. Tough slog a lot of the time. But like John Lennon said, everything will be okay in the end, and if it's not okay, it's not the end, he offered kindly, spouting yet another quote from what seemed to be an unlimited supply in his brain.
The artist softened instantly, smiling in a way that looked almost sweet. He exhaled mightily. He liked what he just heard.
And, the vagrant continued, this climb up into the rare air of personal and professional mastery that the three of us have obviously signed up for is not for the weak. Upgrading your life so you know real joy and optimizing your skills so you own your field can be uncomfortable a lot of the time. I need to be honest. But here's one key thing I've learned. The soreness of growth is so much less expensive than the devastating costs of regret.
Where'd you learn that? Questioned the artist as he scrawled the words into his notebook.
Can't tell you. Yet, the homeless man responded, heightening the mystery of where he discovered much of his insight.
The entrepreneur turned away from the artist and jotted down some of her thoughts into her device. The homeless man then reached into a pocket of his hole-ridden plaid shirt and produced a heavily used index card. He held it up like a kindergarten student at show and tell.
A distinguished person gave this to me when I was a lot younger, as I was starting my first company. I was a lot like you cats, dripping with dreams and set to make my mark on the world, hungry to prove myself, amped to dominate the game. The first 50 years of our lives are a lot about seeking legitimacy, you know? We crave social approval. We want our peers to respect us. We hope our neighbors will like us. We buy all sorts of things we really don't need and obsess about making money we really don't enjoy.
Totally right, muttered the artist,
nodding his head aggressively and shifting his posture noticeably as his dreadlocks dangled over his shoulders. The event venue was now empty.
"If we have the courage to look within, we discover that we do this because we have a series of holes within us. We falsely believe that material from the outside will fill what's empty within ourselves. Yet it never will. Never will. Anywho, when many of us reach the halftime point of our lives, we make a right angle turn. We begin to realize that we're not going to live forever and that our days are numbered. And so, we connect with our mortality. Big point here, we realize we are going to die. What's truly important comes into much sharper focus. We become more contemplative. We start to wonder if we've been true to our talents, loyal to our values, and successful on the terms that feel right to us. And we think about what those we most love will say about us when we're gone. That's when many of us make a giant shift from seeking legitimacy in society to constructing a meaningful legacy. The last 50 years then become less about me and more about we. Less about selfishness and more about service. We stop adding more things into our lives and begin to subtract and simplify. We learn to savor simple beauty, experience gratitude for small miracles, appreciate the priceless value of peace of mind, spend more time cultivating human connections, and come to understand that the one who gives the most is victorious. And what's left of your life then becomes a phenomenal dedication to loving life itself, as well as a ministry of kindness to the many, and this becomes, potentially, your gateway into immortality.
He's really special, whispered the entrepreneur. I haven't felt this hopeful, energized, and grounded in months. My father used to help me navigate difficult times, she told the artist. Ever since he passed away, I don't have anyone to lean on.
What happened to him? Quizzed the artist.
I'm a little fragile right now, even though I feel stronger now than I did when I walked in here this morning, that's for sure. But I'll simply say that he took his own life. Dad was a remarkable man, a tremendously successful business pioneer. He flew airplanes, raced fast cars, and loved superb wine. He was so alive. Then his business partner took everything away from him. Not so different from the horrible scenario I'm living right now. Anyway, the stress and shock of his world collapsing pushed him to do what we could never have imagined. He just couldn't see any way out, I guess. The entrepreneur revealed as her voice broke.
You can lean on me, the artist said tenderly.
He placed a hand with a hippie ring on a pinky finger onto his heart as he spoke these words, looking both chivalrous and bohemian. The homeless man interrupted the intimate moment the two were sharing.
Here, read this, he instructed as he handed over his index card. It'll be useful as you both rise to your next performance levels and experience everything that comes with this adventure into human leadership, personal mastery, and creating a career of uncommon productivity.
In red lettering over the paper that had yellowed by the advances of time, it read, All change is hard at first, messy in the middle, and gorgeous at the end. That's very good, noted the entrepreneur. A valuable piece of information for me. Thank you. The artisan resumed playing his illegal copy of the Spellbinder's presentation.
Each one of you carries a quiet genius and a triumphant hero within your hearts. Dismiss these as idealistic words of an elderly inspirationalist if you wish, but I'm proud to be an idealist. Our world needs more of us. And yet, I am also a realist. And here's the truth. Most people on the planet today don't think much of themselves, unfortunately. They secure their identity by who they are externally. They evaluate their achievement by what they've collected versus by the character they've cultivated. They compare themselves to the orchestrated and fake highlight reels presented by the people they follow. They measure their self-worth by their net worth, and they get kidnapped by the false thought that because something has never been done, it can't be done.
depleting the grand and electrifying possibilities their lives are meant to become. This explains why the majority is sinking in the quicksand of uncertainty, boredom, distraction, and complexity.
Drama mamas, the homeless man interrupted again. That's what I call men and women who've caught the virus of victimitis excusitis. All they do is complain about how bad things are for them, instead of applying their primal power to make things better. They take instead of give, criticize instead of create, and worry instead of work. Build antibodies to combat any form of average from getting anywhere near your professional days at the office and your private life at home. Never be a drama mama.
The entrepreneur and the artist peeked at each other. Then they giggled, both at the terms the quirky stranger was using, and at the way he'd raised an arm and made the fingers of one hand into a peace sign as he spoke the words he'd just shared. If you were standing there with them, you would think he was weird, too. The spellbinder could then be heard speaking the following words on the recording with dramatic flair.
To be clear, every day for the rest of your life, you'll be faced with the chance of showing leadership, wherever you are and in all that you do. Leadership isn't just for global icons and marketplace titans. It's an arena everyone gets to play in. Because leadership is a lot less about having a formal title, a large office, and money in the bank, and a lot more about committing to mastery over all you do and in who you are. It's about resisting the tyranny of the ordinary, refusing to allow negativity to hijack your sense of awe, and preventing any form of slavery to mediocrity from infesting your life. Leadership is about making a difference right where you're planted. Real leadership is about sending out brave work that exemplifies genius, turns your whole field on its head by its scope, innovation and execution, and is so staggeringly sublime that it stands the test of time. And never work only for the income. Labor for the impact. Make your dominant pursuit the heartfelt release of value that represents an uncommon magic that borders on the poetic. Demonstrate the full-on expression of what's possible for a human being to create. Develop the patience to stick with your dedication to absolute world-class output, even if over a lifetime you only generate a single masterpiece. To achieve this feat alone will have made your life's journey a worthy trek. Be a virtuoso, a standout, an exceptionalist. The top 5% are a lot less concerned with fame, cash, and approval, and a lot more invested in punching above their weight class within their craft, playing above their pay grade around their talents, and creating the kind of productivity that inspires and serves millions. That's often why they make millions. So never mail it in. Always bring it on.
The homeless man now had his eyes closed and was down on the floor doing a series of one-armed push-ups. All the while he was chanting, "Own your morning, elevate your life." The entrepreneur and the artist shook their heads.
"One of my favorite books is The Prophet," mused the artist. "It's one of the best-selling works of poetry ever written. I read that Khalil Gibran carried the manuscript around with him for 4 long years and refined it constantly before giving it to his publisher, just so it was pure art. I still remember the exact words he spoke when he was interviewed by a journalist about his creative process, because they guide me a lot when I'm in the studio. His words keep me reaching for a greater power as an artist, even though I battle procrastination a lot. Like I said, I'm pretty good, but I know I can be great. If I could just beat my self-sabotage and my demons."
"What did he say?" asked the homeless man, now standing and twiddling with his big watch.
Beads of perspiration meandered down his angular face.
"Here's exactly what he said," mentioned the artist.
I wanted to be sure, very sure, that every word of it was the very best I had to offer.
Gnarly, replied the homeless man. That's the standard that the best ones always hold themselves to.
Abruptly, the spellbinder could be heard coughing in the audio. His comments that followed seemed to struggle out of him, like an unborn child, fiercely reluctant to leave the security of its loving mother's warm and safe womb.
Anyone can become an everyday leader by showing up as I'm encouraging. When it's easy, and especially when it's difficult. Starting today. And if you do so, a guaranteed victory is in your future. And I need to add that there's not one person alive today who cannot lift their thinking, performance, vitality, prosperity, and lifetime happiness magnificently by wiring in a series of profound daily rituals and then practicing them until they become your second nature. And this brings me to the single most important principle of my talk. The greatest starting point for winning in your work and making a splendid life is joining what I call the 5 a.m. Club. How can you ever be world-class if you don't carve out some time each morning to make yourself world-class?
The entrepreneur was now taking notes with a ferocious intensity not previously seen. The artist's face had a this-makes-me-feel-strong smile on it. The homeless man burped, then got down to the floor and held a plank, the kind fitness pros at the gym love to do to build a strong core. You could hear the spellbinder begin to cough even more fiercely. A brutal and sustained pause followed. Next, he uttered these words, haltingly. He was wheezing audibly. His voice began to quiver like a novice telemarketer on her very first sales call.
Rising at 5 a.m. truly is the mother of all routines. Joining the 5 a.m. club is the one behavior that raises every other human behavior. This regimen is the ultimate needle mover to turn you into an undefeatable model of possibility. The way you begin your day really does determine the extent of focus, energy, excitement, and excellence you bring to it. Each early morning is a page in the story that becomes your legacy. Each new dawn is a fresh chance to unleash your brilliance, unprison your potency, and play in the big leagues of iconic results. You have such power within you, and it reveals itself most with the first rays of daybreak. Please, do not allow past pains and present frustrations to diminish your glory, stifle your invincibility, and choke the unlimited possibilitarian that lurks within the supreme part of you. In a world that seeks to keep you down, build yourself up. In an epic that wishes you would stay in the dark, step into your light. At a time that mesmerizes you to forget your gifts, reclaim your genius. Our world requires this of each of us, to be champions of our crafts, warriors for our growth and guardians of unconditional love for all of humankind. Display respect and compassion for all other people who occupy this tiny planet, regardless of their creed, color, or caste. Lift them up in a civilization where many get energy tearing others down. Help others sense the marvels that sleep within them. Show us the virtues we all wish more would practice. Everything I'm saying will speak to the unspoiled part of you, that side of yourself that was ferociously alive before you were taught to fear, hoard, contract, and distrust. It's your job as a hero of your life, as a creative achiever set to change the culture,
and as a citizen of Earth to find this dimension within you. And once done, to spend the rest of your days reconnected with it. Accept this opportunity to human mastery, and I promise you that a synchronicity of success, as well as an orchestrated magic well beyond the boundaries of logic, will infuse the remainder of your days. And the larger angels of your grandest potential will begin to visit you regularly. Actually, an orderly series of seemingly impossible miracles will descend onto your most genuine of dreams, causing the best of them to come true. And you will evolve into one of those rare and great spirits who upgrade the whole world by the simple act of walking amongst us.
The conference hall was now dark. The entrepreneur let out a sigh the size of Mexico City. The artist was motionless. The homeless man began to cry. He then stood on a chair, raised his arms like a preacher, and boomed these words of Irish playwright George Bernard Shaw. "This is the true joy in life, the being used for a purpose recognized by yourself as a mighty one, the being a force of nature instead of a feverish little clod of ailments and grievances, complaining that the world will not devote itself to making you happy. I am of the opinion that my life belongs to the whole community, and as long as I live, it is my privilege to do for it whatever I can. I want to be thoroughly used up when I die, for the harder I work, the more I live. I rejoice in life for its own sake. Life is no brief candle for me. It is a sort of splendid torch which I have got hold of for the moment, and I want to make it burn as brightly as possible before handing it on to future generations." The homeless man then fell to his knees, kissed his holy beads, and continued to weep. Chapter 5. A Bizarre Adventure into Morning Mastery. Everyone holds his fortune in his own hands. Like a sculptor, the raw material he will fashion into a figure. The skill to mold the material into what we want must be learned and attentively cultivated. Johann Wolfgang von Goethe. "If you two are interested," said the homeless man, "I'd be happy to spend a few mornings coaching you at my oceanside compound. I'll show you my private morning routine and explain why dialing in the way you run your first hour to the highest degree is essential for personal mastery and exceptional business performance. Let me do this for you, cats. Your lives will start to look glorious within a fairly short time, and the ride with me will be fun. Not always easy, as we heard from the old guy on the stage, but valuable and prolific and beautiful. Maybe even as wonderful as the ceiling of the Sistine Chapel."
"First time I saw it, I cried," the artist said, stroking the hairs of his goatee.
"Michelangelo was a bad dude, and I mean that in a good way," the homeless man offered, as he too played with his beard, which was soiled. He then raised his shirt to show Greek god abdominal muscles. A long finger of a grimy hand moved along the contours, the way a raindrop zigzags down the stem of a rose after a May shower.
"Hit me with a stick," shouted the artist with the enthusiasm of a cat let loose in a parrot shop. "How the heck did you get those?"
"Not from some plastic ab machine I bought from a late-night TV show, that's for sure. Work is how I got all lean and chiseled up like this. Plenty of push-ups, pull-ups, planks, sit-ups, and seriously sweaty cardio sessions, often on my special beach."
Without allowing for any response from his two listeners, the disheveled drifter kept on speaking.
"Commitment, discipline, patience, and work. Values few believe in these days, where so many have an entitlement mentality, expecting a rich, productive, and fulfilling life to just show up one day like a sparrow at the beginning of spring, and expecting everyone around them to invest the effort they are responsible for inputting. Where's the leadership in this way of operating? A society of adults behaving like spoiled little children,
is how I sometimes see our world right now. Not judging, just saying. Not complaining, just reporting. Hey, cats, here's the point I'm trying to make by letting you have a peek at my sculpted abs. Nothing works for those who don't do the work. Less talk and more do is what I say. Oh, and check this out.
The hobo spun around and unbuttoned his hole-ridden shirt. On his firm, striated back was a tattoo with the words, "Victims love entertainment. Victors adore education."
Come hang with me at my place on a magical little island in the middle of a fantastic ocean, 5 hours from the coast of Cape Town.
He handed the entrepreneur the plastic card with the seaside scene etched on it.
"Those are my dolphins," he said, happily pointing to the hand-drawn image. "The trip will be so worth it," he continued. "The adventure of a lifetime, for sure. Some of your most valuable and sensational moments ever will unfold there. You need to take a trust walk with me, people. I'll teach you everything I know about a world-class morning ritual. I'll help you both become members of the 5 a.m. Club. You'll learn to rise early, regularly, so you'll get more done by noon than most people get done in a week. And so you'll optimize your health, happiness, and peacefulness. There's a reason so many of the great achievers of the world get up before the sun. It's the most special part of the day. I'll explain how I use this revolutionary method to build my empire. And to be clear, empires arrive in many forms. Economic is just one of them. You can also create empires of artistry, productivity, humanity, philanthropy, personal freedom, and even spirituality. I'll download pretty much everything I've been blessed to have been taught by the mentor who transformed my life. You'll discover so much. You'll be moved at the deepest level. You'll see the world through an all-new set of lenses. You'll also eat the finest food and watch the most spectacular sunsets. You guys can swim in the sea, go snorkeling with the dolphins, and fly over the sugar cane stalks that dance in the wind in the helicopter I own. And should you both accept my heartfelt invitation to visit me, I insist you stay at my home.
My God, you're kidding me, right?
Boomed the artist. It was becoming increasingly evident that, like many in his field, he was acutely emotional, vigilant to the infinitesimal, and carried a sensitivity born of latent pain. Those who feel more than most people sometimes believe they have been cursed. In fact, they have been granted a gift, one that allows them to sense what others miss, experience the delights that most neglect, and notice the majesty in ordinary moments. Yes, such people get hurt more easily, yet they are also the ones who create great symphonies, architect dazzling buildings, and find cures for the sick. Tolstoy once noted that only people who are capable of loving strongly can suffer great sorrow. While the Sufi poet Rumi wrote, "You have to keep breaking your heart until it opens." The artist seemed to personify these insights.
"Nope, totally serious, dudes," the homeless man said enthusiastically. "I have a house not far from a village called Solitude, and believe me, they named it accurately. It's only when you get away from the noise and nuisance and be in quiet and tranquility that you remember who and all you're truly meant to be. Just say yes to life and let's do this. Like the guru on the platform said, a magic will show up for you the more you start exploiting the terrific opportunities that appear along your path. Seemingly by accident, you can't win a game you don't play, right? The reality is that life has got your back, even when it doesn't look like it does. But you need to do your part and go all in when windows of opportunity appear. Oh, and if you come to my home on the island, the only thing I ask is that you stay long enough for me to teach you the philosophy and methodology that my secret advisor shared with me. Joining the 5 a.m. Club requires a little time." The homeless man paused before adding, "I'm also going to take care of all your expenses. Everything's covered. I'll even send my private jet to pick you guys up, if that's cool."
The entrepreneur and the artist glanced at each other, amused, confounded, and entirely uncertain.
"Mind if my friend and I have a few moments alone, brother?"
requested the artist, notebook still in hand.
No sweat, sure. Take all the time you need. I'll just go back to my seat over there and make some calls to my executive team,
mentioned the homeless man as he paced away.
This is absurd. Just asinine, the artist said to the entrepreneur. I def agree with you that there's something special about him. Maybe even something magical. I know how insane that sounds. And I am fascinated by this mentor he keeps talking about. This teacher, who sort of sounds like a modern-day master. I'll admit that this street person has got some great insights, for sure. And he obviously seems to have a lot of experience. But just look at him. Man, the guy looks completely down and out. A complete mess. I don't think he's had a shower in weeks. His clothes are all ripped. He's beyond freaky. And sometimes he talks total crazy talk. We have no idea who he is. This could be dangerous. He could be dangerous.
Yes, definitely super weird. Everything that's happened here today is super weird, confirmed his companion. The entrepreneur's lean face then softened. Her eyes still seemed melancholic, though. I'm at a place in my life where I need to make some big changes, she confided. I just can't keep going on like this. I hear what you're saying. I've been suspicious of pretty much everyone and everything ever since I lost my dad when I was 11. A daughter growing up without a father is incredibly scary. To be honest, I still carry a lot of the emotional trauma with me. I think of him every day. I've had some bad, intimate relationships. I've struggled a lot with low self-worth and made some horrible choices in the relationships I've had. About a year ago, I started seeing a therapist who made me aware of why I was behaving the way I was behaving, the entrepreneur continued. Psychologists call it fatherless daughter syndrome. Deep within, I had a huge fear of abandonment and all the strong insecurities that come with that wound. Yes, this made me extraordinarily tough on the outside, and ruthless in some ways. The chip on my shoulder over the loss of my father gave me my drive and my ambition, yet the loss also left me empty within. I'm learning that I've been trying to fill the void that he left, when he left, by pushing myself to exhaustion in my work with the belief that when I'm even more successful, I'll get the love I lost. I've been attempting to fill my emotional holes by chasing more money like a heroin addict needing a fix. I've been starving for social status and hungry for industry approval, escaping online for quick pleasure hits of entertainment when I could be doing things that matter. As I said, I'm realizing a lot of my behavior has been pushed from the fear created by my early challenges as a young woman. I felt inspired when the spellbinder spoke about never doing something for the money, but instead, reaching for world class as a leader and a person for the meaning it provides, for the opportunity to grow it provokes, and for a shot at changing the world. His words made me feel so hopeful. I want to live in the way he spoke of, but I'm nowhere near that place now, and recently, what's happened at my company pushed me to the edge. I'm really not doing well at life right now. I only came to this meeting because my mom gave me a free ticket, and I'm so desperate for a change. The entrepreneur took a deep breath. Sorry, she apologized, looking embarrassed. I hardly know you, so I'm not sure why I'm revealing all this to you. I guess I just feel safe with you. I'm not sure why. I'm so sorry if I'm oversharing.
No problem, said the artist. His body language showed he was engaged.
He no longer anxiously played with his goatee and dreadlocks. We're so honest when we chat with taxi drivers and other people we don't really know, right? The entrepreneur went on. All I'm trying to say is that I'm ready for a transformation. And my gut tells me this down-and-out man who wants to teach us how an excellent morning routine can build creative, productive, financial, and happiness empires really can help me. And help us. And, she added, remember his watch.
I like him, said the artist. He's a character.
I love that he expresses himself so poetically sometimes and so passionately at others. He thinks so vividly and quotes George Bernard Shaw like his life depended on it. Really cool. But I still don't really trust him, the artist expressed as he punched a fist into an open palm again. Probably ripped the watch off some rich idiot.
Look, I understand how you're feeling, responded the entrepreneur. A lot of me feels the same way, and you and I just met as well. I'm not sure what it would be like to go on this trip with you. I hope you don't mind me saying that. You seem like such a nice person. A few rough edges, maybe. I think I understand where those come from. But you're good, deep down. I know it.
The artist looked mildly pleased. He glanced at the homeless man, who was eating slices of avocado from a plastic bag.
I'll have to see if I can arrange my schedule to be away from the office so we can spend time with him,
shared the entrepreneur, as she pointed to the homeless man. While he was munching on his snack, he was also talking on a relic of a mobile phone and staring at the ceiling.
I'm starting to like the idea of spending some time near a village called Solitude, on some tiny island, eating fabulous food and swimming with wild dolphins. I'm beginning to feel this will be a phenomenal adventure. I'm starting to feel more alive again.
Well, now that you say it that way, I'm liking the sound of this too, said the artist. I'm beginning to think there's a delicious insanity to all of this, a special opportunity to access a whole new universe of originality. This might be the best thing yet for my art. It makes me think of what the writer Charles Bukowski said. Some people never go crazy. What truly horrible lives they must lead. And the Spellbinder did encourage us to leave the boundaries of our normal lives so we grow into our gifts, talents, and strengths. Some instinct is also telling me to do this. So if you go, I'll go.
Well, you know what? I'll take the leap. It's done. I'm all in. Let's go, pronounced the entrepreneur.
All in, agreed the artist.
They both stood up and made their way to the homeless man, who was now sitting with his eyes closed.
What are you doing now? Quizzed the artist.
Intense visualization of all I want to be and the higher order life I wish to create. A Turkish fighter pilot once told me that before every flight, he'd fly before we'd fly. He was suggesting that meticulously rehearsing the way he and his team wanted the mission to unfold in the theater of his imagination set them up to execute that vision of mastery in reality, flawlessly. Your mindset is an enormously potent tool for private greatness, prodigious productivity and creative victory, along with your heart set, health set, and soul set. I'll teach you all about these remarkable concepts if you accept my invitation. Anywho, back to why I close my eyes. Nearly every morning, I envision my ideal performance for the day ahead. I also reach deep into my emotions, so I feel what it will feel like when I achieve the wins I plan to accomplish. I lock myself into an extremely confident state, where any form of failure isn't within the realm of possibility. Then I go out and do my finest to live out that perfect day.
Interesting. The entrepreneur was fascinated.
This is just one of the SOPs I run daily to stay on peak. Good science is confirming that this practice helps me upregulate my genome by turning on genes that were previously asleep. Your DNA isn't your destiny, you know? Not to worry, cats. You'll learn about the breakthrough field of epigenetics when you're on the island. You'll also learn some beautiful neuroscience on multiplying your success in this age of scattered attention, so the weapons of mass distraction don't destroy your amazingness. I'll reveal everything I've discovered about creating projects that are so masterfully done, they endure for generations. You'll hear about fabulous ways to armor-plate your mental focus and fireproof your physical energy. You'll discover how the best business people in the world build dominant enterprises and learn a calibrated system that the most joyful human beings on the planet apply each morning to create a life that borders on the magical. Oh, in case you were wondering, an SOP is a standard operating procedure.
It's a term my special advisor used when he'd speak about the daily structures needed to find triumph at the game of life. I assume you two are coming?
Yes, we're coming, confirmed the entrepreneur in an upbeat tone. Thank you for your offer.
Yeah, thanks, man, added the artist, now looking more composed.
Please, the entrepreneur said earnestly, teach us everything you know about creating the morning routine of a high-impact leader and a supremely successful business person. I desperately want to improve my performance and my daily productivity. I'll also need your help to restructure my life. To be honest, I'm feeling more inspired today than I felt in a long time. But I'm not in the best place.
Yeah, brother, said the artist.
Tell us your secrets for an epic morning routine that helps me become the best painter and man I can become.
He waved his notebook in the air as he spoke.
Send us your plane. Take us to your village. Give us some coconuts. Let us ride your dolphins and improve our lives. We're all in.
None of what you'll discover will be motivation, noted the scraggly soul with a degree of seriousness he hadn't shown before. All of this will definitely be about transformation, and it will be supported by strong data, the latest research, and immensely practical tactics that have been battle-tested in the tough trenches of industry. Get ready for the greatest adventure you cats will ever experience.
Excellent, declared the entrepreneur, as she reached out to shake the weather-beaten stranger's hand. I need to admit that this entire scenario has been extremely odd for both of us, but for whatever reason, we now trust you. And yes, we're totally open to this new experience.
You're very kind to do this for us, thank you, blurted out the artist.
He looked somewhat surprised by the extent of his graciousness.
Awesome! Smart decision, guys, came the warm response. Please be outside this conference center tomorrow morning. Bring at least a few days' worth of clothes, that's all. Like I said, I'm stoked to take care of everything else. All expenses are on me. I thank you.
Why are you thanking us? Wondered the entrepreneur. The homeless man smiled tenderly and scratched his beard thoughtfully.
In his final sermon before he was assassinated, Martin Luther King Jr. said, "Everybody can be great because anybody can serve. You don't have to have a college degree to serve. You don't have to make your subject and verb agree to serve. You don't have to know about Plato and Aristotle to serve. You don't have to know Einstein's theory of relativity to serve. You don't have to know the second theory of thermodynamics and physics to serve. You only need a heart full of grace, a soul generated by love."
The tramp wiped a morsel of avocado from the edge of his mouth and then carried on what he was saying.
One of the big lessons I've learned over the years is that giving to other people is a gift you give to yourself. Raise the joy of others, and you'll get even more joy. Increase the state of your fellow human beings, and, naturally, your own state of being ascends. Success is cool, but significance is rad. Generosity, not scarcity, is the trait of all the great men and women who have upgraded our world. And we need leaders, pure leaders, and not narcissists obsessed with their own self-interests, as never before.
The homeless man looked down at his large watch one last time.
You can't take your title, net worth, and fancy toys with you when you die, you know? I've yet to see a moving truck following a hearse on its way to a funeral, he chuckled.
The two listeners grinned.
He's a treasure, whispered the entrepreneur.
Death is, acknowledged the artist.
Stop saying death so much, said the entrepreneur. It's getting irritating. The artist looked a little shocked.
Okay.
All that matters on your last day on Earth is the potential you've leveraged, the heroism you've demonstrated, and the human lives you've graced, the homeless man said eloquently.
He then grew quiet and let out a deep breath.
Anywho, incredible that you're coming. We'll have a cool hang.
May I bring my paintbrushes? The artist asked politely.
Only if you want to paint in paradise,
came the homeless man's reply with a wink.
And what time should we meet outside this place tomorrow morning? Asked the entrepreneur,
placing her handbag onto a thin, bony shoulder.
5 a.m.,
instructed the homeless man. Own your morning. Elevate your life. Then he disappeared.
Chapter 6. A Flight to Peak Productivity, Virtuosity, and Undefeatability.
Your time is limited, so don't waste it living someone else's life. Don't be trapped by dogma, which is living with the results of other people's thinking. Don't let the noise of others' opinions drown out your own inner voice. And most important, have the courage to follow your heart and intuition. They somehow already know what you truly want to become. Steve Jobs.
I'm so tired, the entrepreneur muttered with the energy of an ancient turtle on a vacation day, while holding a monstrous cup of coffee. This journey might be harder than I thought. I'm starting to feel like I'm walking into a whole new world. Like I told you yesterday after the seminar, I'm definitely ready to change, set for a new beginning. But I'm also feeling uneasy about all this. I didn't sleep much last night. Such eerie and sometimes violent dreams. And yes, this experience we've agreed to might be dangerous.
Well, I feel like death, man, said the artist. I hate being up this early. This was a terrible idea.
The two brave souls were standing on the sidewalk outside the hall where the spellbinder had worked his legendary skills and broken many hearts with his collapse the day before. It was 4:49 a.m.
He won't show up, barked the artist roughly.
He was dressed in black with a ruby-red polka-dotted bandana on his left wrist. Same boots as yesterday, those Australian ones. He hurled a mouthful of spit into the desolate street. He squinted at the sky, and then he folded his tattooed arms. The entrepreneur had a nylon duffel bag over her shoulder. She styled a silk blouse with bohemian sleeves, designer blue jeans and a pair of sandals with high heels, the kind you see off-duty supermodels with sunglasses the size of Greek island sunsets wearing. Her lips were scrunched together, and the lines on her face were arrayed in a series of interesting intersections.
I'd bet the homeless man's a no-show, she said with a sneer. I don't care about his watch. It doesn't matter that he could be so articulate. It means nothing to me now that he reminded me of my dad. God, I'm exhausted. He was probably at the seminar because he needed a place to rest for a few hours. He probably knew about the whole 5 a.m. club morning routine because he heard and stole that bit of the Spellbinder's presentation. And the private plane he talked about was probably part of his favorite hallucination.
The entrepreneur had returned to her familiar skepticism and hiding within her fortress of protection. The hopefulness of the day before had clearly dissolved. Just then, a pair of strikingly powerful halogen headlights pierced the wall of darkness. The two companions looked at each other. The entrepreneur managed a smile.
Okay, maybe instinct really is much smarter than reason, she muttered to herself.
A gleaming Rolls-Royce, the color of coal, pulled up to the curb. With swift efficiency, a man in a crisp white uniform leapt out of the sedan and greeted the two with old-school civility.
"Good morning to you, madam, and to you as well, sir," he enunciated in a British accent as he placed their bags into the vehicle with one skillful swoop.
"Where's the derelict?" asked the artist with the tact of a hillbilly who'd never left the woods.
The driver couldn't help but laugh. Quickly he regained his composure.
"So sorry, sir. Yes, Mr. Riley dresses in very unassuming attire, shall we say. He does that when he feels the need to get gritty, as he classifies the practice. He leads a remarkably exclusive life most of the time, and is a man accustomed to getting anything he wants. Everything he wants, to be more precise. So, once in a while, he does things to ensure his modesty and humility remain in check. That's part of his quirky charm, I might add. Mr. Riley asked me to give these to you."
The driver pulled out two envelopes, made of the highest quality paper. On opening them, the entrepreneur and the artist saw these words. "Hey, cats, hope you're awesome. Didn't mean to spook you both yesterday. I just needed to keep my boots on the ground." Epictetus, one of my favorite philosophers, wrote, "But neither a bull nor a noble-spirited man comes to be what he is all at once. He must undertake hard winter training and prepare himself and not propel himself rashly into what is not appropriate to him." Voluntary discomfort, whether by dressing as I did or by fasting once a week or by sleeping on the floor once a month, keeps me strong, disciplined, and focused on the central few priorities my life's built around. Anywho, have a tremendous flight, and I'll see you in paradise soon. Big hug. The driver continued, "Please remember that appearances can be misleading, and clothing doesn't convey one's character. Yesterday you met a great man. Looks really do not reveal the quality of a person."
"I guess neither does shaving," proclaimed the artist,
kicking a black boot against the shiny Rolls-Royce symbol at the center of one of the wheels. "Mr. Riley would never tell you what I'm about to tell you, as he's far too courteous and decent. But the gentleman you refer to as a derelict happens to be one of the wealthiest people in the world." "Are you serious?" asked the entrepreneur, her eyes widening. "I most certainly am." The driver smiled politely as he opened a door, waving a white-gloved hand to welcome both passengers into the vehicle. The seats had that marvelously musky smell of new leather. The wood paneling seemed like it had been prepared by hand, by a small family of finicky craftspeople who'd built their reputations around this singular obsession. "Mr. Riley made his fortune many years ago in various commercial ventures. He was also an early investor in what has now become an internationally admired company. Discretion prevents me from mentioning the name, and if Mr. Riley found out I was speaking of financial matters with you, he'd be exceedingly disappointed. His instructions were simply to treat you with the utmost of care, along with assuring you of his sincerity and reliability, and to deliver you safely to Hangar 21.
"Hangar 21? The artist asked as he eased languidly into the opulent vehicle like a rock star accustomed to this method of transport, or a hip-hop artist ready for a weekend roll.
"That's where Mr. Riley's fleet of jets are kept," stated the driver succinctly. "Fleet?" questioned the entrepreneur, her beautiful brown eyes alive with an immensely curious look. "Yes," was all the chauffeur would allow. There was silence as the driver sped through the early morning streets. The artist looked out the window while rolling a bottle of water in one hand absent-mindedly. He hadn't seen the sun rising in many years.
"Very special. Truly beautiful," he admitted. "Everything so peaceful at this time of the day. No noise. Such peace. Even though I feel tired right now, I can really think. Things seem clearer. My attention isn't a mess. It feels like the rest of the world is asleep. What tranquility."
A cavalry of wispy amber rays, the ethereal palette of the daybreak, and the quietude of this moment left him encouraged and awestruck. The entrepreneur studied the driver. "So tell me more about your boss," she requested, restlessly toying with her device as she spoke.
"I can't tell you much more. He's worth multiple billions of dollars. He's given most of his money to charity. Mr. Riley's the most fascinating, generous, and compassionate person I know. He also has incredible willpower, along with having ironclad values, such as honesty, empathy, integrity, and loyalty. And, of course, he's also a real oddball, if I may be so bold as to say so, like a lot of the very, very, very rich."
"We've noticed," agreed the entrepreneur. "I'm interested, though. What makes you say he's odd?"
"You'll see," was the stark response.
The Rolls soon arrived at a private airport. No sign of Mr. Riley. The driver accelerated up to an ivory jet that looked immaculately kept. The only color it bore appeared on the tail, in the hue of a mandarin orange. Three characters read,
5AC. "What does 5AC stand for?" asked the entrepreneur tensely, gripping her gadget tightly.
"The 5 AM Club. Own your morning, elevate your life. It's one of the maxims, Mr. Ryan."